are listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to Outspoken Radio with Donnie and friends right here on LA Talk Radio.
That's right, everyone. You listen to Outspoken Radio right here on LA Talk Radio, where we come to you live every Monday night. I am Donnie Meacham.
And I am Rebecca Tripp.
And welcome to this day after Halloween.
Ooh,
all kind of spookies and goodness. I didn't do much for Halloween. I laid in the bed and watched episodes of Dexter and Brothers and Sisters, and it was very boring.
What's spooky about Brothers and Sisters? I don't understand why you watch that on Halloween.
I don't know. Have you seen Sally Field with no makeup on, girl?
Yeah,
that's spooky.
I have. So if you watched Sally Field without any makeup on, that would be spooky. But Brothers and Sisters, well, Calista Flockhart is a little scary sometimes.
I love the show. But joining us first tonight, we have a lovely psychic and medium named Bro Perkins, who we are going to bring on the line now. Hey, bro,
Hello.
Can you hear us?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Great.
So we're learning how to do this. Well, not we learning. Well, I guess we. I'm learning how to do the whole Skype thing over the on the board. I'm learning it as we go along, so it works.
I'm watching him fail. Sometimes. So. Sometimes it's successful. Other times there's a little bit of failure, but that's good. You know, you got to learn. That's how you learn.
Yes.
I'm very.
Well, I hope I don't cut out with you guys or anything.
Oh, I hope not. Well, I'm very untechnologically advanced.
This is true.
Okay.
This is a truth.
So how was your weekend?
It was busy.
It was busy.
I did a lot of readings this weekend. People like to book me up on holidays.
I could see that.
I don't get any holidays. I never have any fun.
Well.
Except for when I go on radio with people like you.
Aww. So sweet. That's we love good. You already, bro. We
see?
Love you already.
Already in our good graces.
So it's great. But yeah, I've been doing a few readings today, actually. You caught me, I think I finished just an hour ago, so I quickly had dinner and literally put down the fork, and here I am.
Wow. So, and you're in Canada, right?
I am. I work and live in Toronto, although I'm originally from Montreal. And my clients from all around Canada call me up for readings every day. My waiting list is about 5 months long right now because I'm a one-man band.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it gets busy.
Well, a 5 month waiting list is better than a no month waiting list, so.
Mm-hmm.
That's right, but they all get pretty angry with me, especially the older clients who used to be able to call me up and say, can I see you next week?
Oh, I can imagine.
Yeah.
That's what happens, Mr. Popular. That's what happens when you get to be Mr. Popular. Everybody wants a little bit.
Yes.
That's right.
Do you ever?
Interestingly enough, I never advertise. It's just, it's always been word of mouth, I think. I had one client who was Italian, and then the whole Italian community in Canada.
That's awesome.
So you're the psychic to the mafia there.
That's correct. Yes. Yeah. I'm well protected.
Well, shoot. You got to get in with any crowd. It's best to get in with them.
That's right.
So, do you ever, you're saying you have like old clients and whatever they do. Do you ever just think about people and call them up because you're like, oh, I've been thinking about you lately?
Well, no, because, I have so many people around me, and it's an interesting thing you should ask that, because just recently I noticed that when I think of someone randomly out of the blue and then they call me the next day after I haven't heard from them in a year or something, it was almost like I was having a premonition about that. But if you can imagine, there's so many people that are always coming in and out of my life that I would literally have no time to have a life for myself if I was a sort of a slave to always seeing into other people.
Yeah, I can see that.
So I have to kind of turn it off and separate it. That's why I make people come through the waiting list and book appointments, because otherwise I found when I was younger, because I started this when I was just a teenager, I would have no kind of lines with people, and I'd get confused. Some people would want to be my friend because they wanted to get information.
Yeah.
And it led to a lot of heartbreak from an early age.
Aww.
Yeah, but that's all better now.
Yeah.
Well, it's good. It's, I think, a good thing in anybody's life to set boundaries. So I think the fact that, you know, with your gift especially, you have to kind of separate what you can do with living your life on a day-to-day basis. I totally think that I can understand that, absolutely.
That's wonderful. And, you know, that's so true. And so many people learn how to do it differently. I learned how to do it with dead people, so it's so weird how I came about it.
Mm-hmm.
I always say, because, you know, people, we've been talking lately about me being a gay man, and I actually came out of the closet as a psychic before that. And then by the time I was out of the closet as a gay man, everyone was like, oh, big surprise.
Yeah, well. My question, you were talking about when you were younger. How old were you when you realized that, you know, you started to have these gifts?
I was about 15. Before that, I really didn't understand it. Things were happening to me. I was already sort of renowned in high school for being able to see things around people and predict things. I told the teacher that she was pregnant. She had trouble getting pregnant for 15 years, and she ended up pregnant. I was able to tell, actually, one of my good colleagues now, she was a teacher of mine in high school. She had me stand up in front of a whole classroom and tell people what I saw about them. And as it turns out, years later, we reconnected on a random train trip, and she's also someone who's gifted and intuitive. So now I'm making her stand up and do readings, too. So.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow. See, turn around. Turns right back around on you.
Right.
And I see that I read on your website that there's like a long lineage of like psychic ability in your family.
That's right. Mostly on my mom's side. In fact, my mother passed away this year suddenly. Oh, and last year, she actually told me what she wanted played at her funeral.
Oh, wow.
And I said, what are you talking about? And she said, I just have a feeling I'm not going to be here for very long. And how she passed, I mean, even I couldn't predict it. Although, oddly enough, I was having strange anxieties and broke out head-to-toe in hives weeks before she died. I was in the emergency room, couldn't figure out what was wrong with me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, sometimes, this is what I try and tell people, being psychic isn't about knowing anything, because you don't know it, you're perceiving it. It's coming at you like a sense, which is very different from knowledge. Most of the time, psychics have no idea what the heck's happening with them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, talk about me being younger, I just thought I was weird.
Thought, yeah.
Like, why am I feeling this? What's going on with me? Why can't I just function like everyone else can? Because I was, like, you know, always picking up everyone else's stuff all the time.
Mm-hmm. I could see that. I mean, that would be something that would just, it would be probably very hard to come to terms with or come to grips with exactly what you're feeling.
That's it. And it still is. It's still pretty tricky. But again, like your co-host said, with setting boundaries, I'm able to sort of differentiate. And that's why when people come for a reading, they know not to tell me anything about them. They know just that they're going to show up for their appointment. And then when they do that, and I start feeling weird things, I know it's about the person who's coming. But in my everyday life, if I get moody, I have no idea what's happening.
Yeah.
Well, I got very moody the other night about a friend who was going to go out, and I thought I was jealous that he was going out, and in fact, he ended up getting assaulted.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my goodness. Well, and it's... And, oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. He texted me after saying he should have listened, and I thought, but that's not fair because I didn't know. I thought I was just being really moody.
Yeah.
Well, and it's interesting that you... I feel like the way that you're explaining it, you've kind of put this thing that is very much in the land of unknown, and you know, people have a lot of different opinions on psychics and on mediums, but they don't really have a lot of experience. But you're putting that kind of uncertainty and unknown into a very real terminology in the way that you're talking about it, that you have these feelings, you feel that it's, you know, it came across as a moodiness one moment, it could be another type of feeling another moment. It's just that you have identified that this is who you are and what you're able to do, and so you've been able to put it to good use, and you've been open to it, as opposed to people who may have those same feelings but just kind of close the door on them.
That's exactly it. So many people going through having psychic impressions think that they're either depressed or something, and the thing about psychic ability is medication can numb it out, because it can alter chemicals in your brain and cause you to turn off your senses. So you know, these things are very real, and that's part of my mission, and the only reason why I ever do radio or television or anything is to always express that this is real, and that it's something that we must explore, because it really impacts our lives, and it can help us. It can save our life, even.
Yeah, absolutely.
No, I can see that, and I like how you not saying you're selling yourself, but you don't sell the idea that you're going to, you know, tell people this is what's going to happen to you. You know, if you go in and they don't tell you anything about themselves, because there are times that people who, you know, they can pretend to be a psychic and they can kind of fish for ideas, like you tell them a little about yourself and they fish on those ideas and play off of your like insecurities about your skepticism of them.
Exactly. And that's why I tell my clients, if anyone anywhere ever tells you that they need you to ask something or they need a question for you, don't pay them. Just walk out or don't go to them. And by the way, if you're looking for a psychic, always find one who's been referred by a friend who can vouch and say, I went to that person and they said this and this and this, and this is what I felt about it. Always go with word of mouth. Because people like me who are real, we don't want to put a target on our back or a neon sign in the window. You wouldn't know I'm psychic to see me on the street.
Yeah.
And I never had to advertise because I felt if it's doing some good for people, then people will tell their friends and family.
I mean, yeah. I heard about you from, because you were on Terry's show and Tony's show.
Oh, yeah.
Here, so yeah. I heard about you from them, and they were talking about how wonderful you are, so
to word of mouth. That's great. That's really wonderful. And are we going to do, I wanted to ask you actually a question, because here's a great example of how a psychic has no idea what's going on.
Okay.
Are we going to do readings tonight?
No, not like, there's going to be no phone call readings or anything. I mean, we might ask you a few questions about ourselves.
Okay.
Personally. Awesome. But, I mean, it's up to you, whatever you feel comfortable
with.
Yeah,
whatever you'd like to do, too, as well.
I got yelled at once by a radio show host who said, never tell me what to do on my show. But I actually just wanted to interject because I was starting to pick up something on you, Donnie. So I wondered if that'd be okay.
No, it's totally fine.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Okay, well, I'm just getting a lot to do with career stuff for you. That's huge right now. I feel embarrassed saying that. It doesn't take a psychic to kind of sense that. But actually, you're gonna realize that television is your niche. And that's really where you're going to end up in front of a camera. And that's the big success for you. Wow. And that's really closer than you think.
Oh, wow.
And I have a feeling like we're even looking at things starting to come your way within 2 months.
Oh, wow.
And we're looking at this, and I think you're going to remember me in April, because you'll do something with me one day, but it's going to be really cool. I'm excited for you.
Oh, wow. Well, that's really great. I mean, to me, that it just confirms it, because right now, I mean, for everybody out there, me and Bro have only, we've talked via email, but it's never been about anything personal or anything like that. And I actually do have a lot of career things that I'm putting myself out there for right now. So I think that's really great to hear. That
there's this female manager person that I like a lot for you.
Wow.
And another thing is, you're going to be very much, and I'll be honest, I read your bio only on your radio show because I had to tell my group where to listen to the show tonight.
Yeah.
And I know that you're political, but it's going to go more in that theme. And I also see you in kind of sort of a reporter theme, like the red carpet kind of thing, kind of Joan Rivers having her. She's a comedian, but she does sort of a journalistic thing, and she makes fun of things. But it's not like that, but it'll have themes of that for you.
Wow.
That's awesome.
That's awesome, and I appreciate you telling me that.
No problem. No problem. Do you have any questions for me?
Well, my question is... Well, I just want to get so people out there can know. You do, you focus on two forms of readings, and I think that is interesting. Like, one is, I guess, would be a life reading, which I guess is probably what just happened then, to where you just pick up on people's visions of the past, present, and the future.
Yes. That's more of the life reading, and that's something that started to happen to me when I became older. But what I always had happen to me was I would see spirits. My grandfather, who died young, would come to me. Of course, now my mother won't leave me alone, God. And you have spirits who come to you. And so when clients come to me in person, they don't tell me what they're coming for. But for some reason, let's say they come for a loved one who's passed on, the first thing in the reading that shows up are spirits, and that loved one eventually comes through. And there's no way I would have an ability to know that, but it's because I don't know it. It's because they're showing up and telling me and showing me, so I'm seeing it.
And that's more of a mediumship session, which I read on your website. You talk about where that's communicating with loved ones that have passed away or have died, and that's different from your life readings.
That's correct. And I used to say that, you know, I'll do two different types, but now it's to the point where I never know what I'll do. And sometimes people come for a mediumship reading and become surprised that on top of that, some things about their life will come up as well. Because I'm not in control. And there are even people that come to me. It's very rare that this happens, but I'll sit down and I won't see a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I imagine that can happen because like you said, you just don't know what's going to come through at the given moment when you sit with people.
it's true. And then there's reasons beyond reasons. Like a man came to me with his girlfriend once, and you know, I don't mention names, but I couldn't read her for some reason. And a year later, they broke up, and she tried to sue him for his entire net value. So what was I going to say in that reading had I been able to read her?
Yeah.
Do people get upset with you when they go to you and there's by chance that you don't happen to see something? Are people upset about it?
Yeah, they're pretty discouraged. And I say, hey, I didn't charge you anything. I mean, you know, it's been nice to sit with you. And always something will come through. Uh-huh. But when you don't get the full reading that they've heard their friends had or something, naturally it's disappointing. But I'll tell you, I think I'm more disappointed than they are when that happens.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah.
And also just since we've kind of been talking with you for the last few minutes here, I just wanted to also let our listeners know that you do have a website to go to. It's www.bro, it's B-R-O-U-G-H, Perkins, P-E-R-K-I-N-S.ca. We'll have that up on the website, outspokenradio.net later. But you have online videos on there as well. And I'm curious, too, from my end, because you and I haven't had any communication other than you saying, hi, I'm Bro, and me saying, hi, I'm Becca. I was curious if you had, because I'm not sure, I'm just so curious about how it works, especially with phones being so far away, and if a lot of your clients are call-ins, especially that first time, just if you have any feelings about me or if anything's coming through, I'm...
Sure, I do. First of all, you share my mother's name, which is really sweet.
Aww.
And I wanted to tell you that love life and relationships are coming to me very prominently about you. This is something I focused on before we got on air, even though you and I hadn't spoken. And I just feel like there's a lot of turnaround, a lot of things turning around. And this is for the best, and it's going to be very good. And in 9 months or 9 months to something, there's a return or a comeback. Now, if we were in a full-on reading, I might have more detail about that. But does that make sense to you, given the state of your love life?
So kind of, yeah. I think so.
I describe a little bit more if you want. Do you want me to?
Sure, go ahead. I'm okay with that.
It looks to me, I'm not sure if I'm seeing this right, but it looks to me like you're not in a set long-term relationship now, but that there are people in your life and that there might be something from last year, a person that you were with, that there's not such resolve or there hasn't been total resolve that might be back in your life or you might talk to or run into. And it's always at like partying or schmoozing or when you're connecting with friends, it's kind of like, oh, why this? Why me? Why does it come back to me all the time? Does that make a little more sense to you?
Sure. Yeah. I think it's a little more clarification. Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Yeah. Great. So, you know, and again, if we had a full-on reading, it's way different from that. But that's my initial impression, and that there are changes in your love life coming before any other changes.
Okay.
Major ones. Yeah.
Good to know. I like to have a little heads up on that, so that's awesome.
Absolutely. Yeah, and so people can also contact me through Facebook because I have a readings group there where I talk about when I go on radio or television, or sometimes I give away free readings, just things that I share. And we're also, I'm writing a book, so people can help me write my book by sharing their experiences through that.
Oh, excellent. Do you have the title for your book yet, or are you still kind of like working through it? I'm sure it's a bit of a process.
Yeah, I'm writing it with my best friend who was a teacher of mine in high school. It's called Special Ed, and it's about how life is really not like school. And we explain all the reasons why, and we give readings and examples of our readings in terms of how life is more about growth. And in school, I mean, you're set up to be graded and you can fail, but in life you can't really fail your life. And all your opportunities to grow will return to you. They come back louder and louder and louder. It's like if you haven't noticed it at the pebble, the huge boulder will hit you. So, you know, we talk a lot about how to work through life and how the readings point toward sort of a path that is your best possible path. And we're really trying to teach people how to do that. Yeah.
Awesome.
That's really cool. You're in the process of writing that now, and that's going to be just a little bit of time before it comes out.
Yeah, it should be done in 8 months or so, and then we're going to go around and talk about it, a couple of psychics on stage. We're doing it carefully because we can't be hypocrites. We've got to actually follow our own rules.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we've realized it's easier said than done.
Yeah.
I can see that. On your website, you do mention two people, and just curious as to if you could talk about the significance those people have for you. You mentioned a guy named Edgar Cayce.
That's right. He's one of the world's best psychics, mm-hmm. best documented psychics. He was an American. Mm-hmm. In Virginia, there's the R Center, which is a dedication to Edgar Cayce's work. His readings were mostly recorded, and he went into trance and was able to tell people things about their life much the same way I do.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you can check him out on Google. He's passed away now, but his work still lives on. Mm-hmm. And Helen Duncan was a Scottish medium who did a lot of good work for free. And those are the kinds of mediums, I call them kind of the Renaissance mediums. They existed in the late 1800s, early 1900s, which was really a heyday for mediums, and they were very charitable, and I aspire to be more like that versus these sort of celebrity mediums today.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I also, there was something that piqued my interest on your website as well, and it was about, and I'd never heard of it before, but it was about this $1 million challenge, which by some gentleman, I cannot remember his name, but there is an actual challenge on a website, victorzammit.com, that you had referenced.
Right.
And I was just curious because the way that you went in depth and explained the $1 million challenge from the first gentleman just sounded kind of ridiculous, like what he was proposing that people go and do. And so I'm just curious if you could shed a little more light on that.
Sure. Well, do you mind if I use the gentleman's name?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it escapes me at the moment.
James Randi is a fellow from Toronto, now living in Florida, but also tours around the States. He's infamous to the paranormal people. He has claimed to have a $1 million challenge to anyone who can stand in front of him and a panel of scientists and prove that they have some sort of paranormal ability.
Mm-hmm.
But the reason why this is a ridiculous challenge is because in science, to prove something, it's never just standing in front of a panel and doing one experiment. It's to design an elaborate experiment, repeat it hundreds of times, sometimes thousands of times necessarily, and then other colleagues have to repeat it. So it would take a lot more than $1 million to actually prove the paranormal.
Yeah.
So just in and of itself, he's selling a carnival trick that's impossible for anyone to win,
mm-hmm.
because he wants to prove it scientifically, but he's doing nothing to accomplish that. Whereas Victor Zammit, a retired lawyer from Australia, has a $1 million challenge to anyone who can create a rebuttal of his afterlife evidence, which he has on his website, victorzammit.com.
Mm-hmm.
And no one's been able to successfully create a simple rebuttal to it in 10 years.
Wow.
Wow.
That's
interesting.
So you have logic versus... And James Randi isn't even a scientist, and mm-hmm. that's the thing.
Yeah.
Well,
he would have no... You know.
It sounds like he's just... every now and then there are people... I think this is true of everything that you can't necessarily with A plus B equals C kind of proof, there's always going to be somebody that kind of has those loaded gun theories and that are just kind of making these broad speculations and these broad accusations and in an effort to bring down one side because they have to be right, you know?
Yeah. It's a phenomenon in science called taboo science. And before the Wright brothers actually successfully demonstrated man-made flight, several scientists criticized them and went on record saying it could never be done. On and on and on. The electricity, light bulb, radio, all of these things were criticized by certain scientists whose paychecks depended on them sticking to how things have always been.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, the paranormal can be proven and in many ways has been under scientific test protocols, but this stuff is not being publicized by the media, unfortunately.
Well, yeah. I mean, because there will always exist. I mean, I think that's one thing that will always exist is there will be a majority of the population that, you know, either agrees and then half and half agrees and then versus skeptics.
Sure. And I mean, what does it mean if there's life after death and then this stuff is possible? I think it really puts the onus on each individual to be very responsible in mm-hmm. life, because if you live forever, then you really can't escape anything you do. And so many people would prefer to have their eyes closed and keep littering and treating other people horribly.
Yeah.
You know, when you die, you can't take anything with you except how you treated others.
Wow.
So I like to say those who believe in survival as being important will step on others to get to the top, whereas those who believe in growth as being the meaning of life because they know that they survive anyway is going to take everyone to the top with them.
Yeah, that's that's powerful stuff, and it's just, I mean, it's wonderful, and
it's a good bit of wisdom, I think, too, in part as well, just generally.
Yeah.
Well,
well, all right, bro. Well, our time has commenced. I want to thank you so much for coming on here and talking with us and giving us a little more insight and understanding as to, you know, what it is that you do.
Oh, thank you very much for having me.
And thank you so much for kind of sitting with us and myself and Donnie and giving us a little more insight into our lives as well. That was much appreciated.
Sure. Let me know how it goes.
All right. Well, I'll be in touch.
Thanks. Have a great night, guys.
Have a wonderful night, bud.
Thanks, bro. You too.
Bye. Okay. All right, everyone. This is Outspoken Radio, and we'll be right back.
I know what it's like to implode. I watched it in my brother from a little lifeboat as I floated in the dark. The breakfast for a hungry beast, but you are not the sea. No, you're not the sea. You are not the moon, and I'm no lost bug, headed for something carnal, distracted by what's false. You were just two unhip hipsters, really could care less. We met when it was simple, now we'll have to figure out the rest. Yeah, we'll figure out the rest. Cause when you look at me, sun in your eyes, you can hardly see. It's the most beautiful thing, the way you believe. All laid out like a fish, I smell like brine and shit. No bones left, just the tender bit.
Starting on Thursday, November 4th, 2010, LA Talk Radio's very own Dr. Terry Grand starts the show that everybody has been talking about, Journey to Recovery. Every addictive person has their own journey to recovery. The purpose of this new show on LA Talk Radio is to explore each person's individual journey. Dr. Terry Grand, a retired physician with over 25 years in the addiction field, will help guide us through this process. Great guests, great stories, and great outcomes. We hope you listen, learn, and enjoy the show. So mark Thursday, November 4th down on your calendars, and be sure to tune in at 6 p.m. right here on LA Talk Radio for Journey to Recovery with your host, Dr. Terry Grand.
You're listening to Outspoken Radio with Donnie and friends, right here on LA Talk Radio.
That's right, everyone. Welcome back to Outspoken Radio, where I am Donnie Meacham.
And I am Rebecca Tripp.
And we are coming to you live. And don't forget, if you want to call in, we had a caller, but I was unable to answer the phone as the song was playing. If they want to call back, they can. The number is 818-602-4929. Once again, 818-602-4929, and I will try my best to answer.
And a thanks to our last guest, that was Bro
yes.
Perkins. He was fabulous. www.broperkins.ca.
And it's B-R-O-U-G-H,
yeah,
bro.
Not like B-R-O, not like what's up, bro?
Bro. But hey, bro. Yeah, we want to say thank you very much to him.
To him.
For him. Just thank you very much for him. No, we want to say thank you for coming on. And also, you guys heard the promo for Terry the Grand Show that is premiering this Thursday at 6 o'clock, I think it said.
Yeah.
I hope so. but Terry has a show also on Sunday nights called The Alternative, which is right here on LA Talk Radio on Channel 1 from 6 to 8. And that show is wonderful.
So
he's a doctor and he's just a wonderful man. And I hope you guys do tune in for his show on Thursday called Journey to Recovery about... You know, everyone has a recovery or everyone has, you know, something that
they're trying to get through
and
get past.
Through and get past. And I think that, you know, it's wonderful that they can talk about it.
Speaking of getting through and getting past things, mm-hmm. let's get this masculine moment.
Oh,
Monday masculine
moment.
Mondays. Yay! All right, you guys. So for our Masculine Moment Monday, of course, we've been doing this once a month, the beginning of the month, the first Monday of the month. We will have some masculine things to talk about. Now, this week's masculine moment, or this month's, sorry, is about barbecuing and grilling, because I've been going over to my friend's house, and my friend Josh loves to grill and smoke out and stuff. So this is dedicated to you, Penguin. So we've got some barbecue grilling tips and some general cow information and knowledge. Okay, so first off, when you put pieces of fresh rosemary into a charcoal fire, it adds flavor to barbecued foods. I don't understand what that does or what it, how it exemplifies the food, but do it. Just try it. See
just
what happens.
Do it, everyone.
And I got this info from kitchentotable.com, PS. Okay, so grilling versus barbecue. If it tastes good, I don't care how you prepare it, but if you care, grilling is cooking food quickly and directly over a hot fire. Barbecue is slow, indirect cooking of meat over a low, smoky fire. Also, probably because I don't understand the difference because I don't cook.
That could be why. That could be why you don't understand.
That's another thing.
Just throw it out.
Also, if you like to play with fire, when you keep your hand over a fire for 3 seconds, you have medium heat. At this heat, most foods grow without burning the outside. It's a good note. I mean,
that's
if you're
going to
put if you're going to put your hand over some fire,
so it's for all the masculine people out there listening to the show.
Yeah, that if you want to do that, do it. Also, 12 cows are known as a flink. Cows don't have upper front teeth. And if you're not going to be my burger, you're a cow that's average lifespan could last 7 years. Nailed it. Masculine moment Monday.
All right, everyone. Well, somebody is on the phone would like to speak with us. Welcome to Outspoken Radio.
Welcome.
Hello? Yeah, I've been sitting here listening to y'all's health conversation.
Well, I know because I put you on hold on mute.
Oh, it's Mama
Meacham. Well, yay, Mama Meacham.
Well, aren't you? I'm really proud of myself that I figured out. Becca, you got to be proud of me, right?
I figured
out how to answer the phone call and mute it, and you didn't even know I picked it up. That's good, right?
I didn't even
I'm getting so much better.
I could hear her talking about barbecuing and everything else, and I was like, wait a minute. What? Hello, hello, hello.
Well, that's why I muted you, because I wanted you to hear her so you would know that she was on air, but you were on air, and so that you would not.
Talk over her.
Oh, I'm very proud of you.
See?
I was wanting my reading done. I called while he was on.
Ah, my bad.
Uh-oh, look at Mama Meacham's like, wanted a reading.
She's like, I wanted my reading.
I wanted the reading.
No, he was sweet. He was wonderful.
He was. It was really good.
I'll give you a reading, Mama Meacham. You are a sweetheart, and you have a son that is a sweetheart, too. There.
Oh, that's very true. You are very good.
Very good.
Thank you. I have some psychic abilities as well. Not as good as Bro Perkins, I'm sure, but.
Well, I just wanted to say my love.
All right. Well, we love you, and thanks for calling.
We love you, too, Mama Meacham.
All right. Have a good night. I'll talk to you afterwards.
Okay. All right. Definitely.
Bye.
Bye. And just so everybody that's listening knows, yes, I celebrate Donnie because technologically we know it's tough. And he gets to run all the controls. I do not want that responsibility at all. It's a tough job.
Ooh.
But I just want everybody that's listening, because you can't see this, to know that when he does try and flirt with anything with the computer, he goes dead
in
his eyes. He just is like, looks like a deer in the headlights. Like he's
I really
completely
do.
Gone.
It's kind of odd. And it's a good thing Becca can see that, because whenever I'm trying to like maneuver the controls or whatever, my whole just expression just dies.
Drops.
I don't even speak. Like, you could be talking to me, you could ask me a question, and I wouldn't even hear you.
Yeah,
because
which,
my whole focus is on trying to figure out something on this.
Which is tough when you're on live radio, because he forgets sometimes. He's like, I'm just going to try. Which is awesome that you're trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
You just forget, but that's why you have me here, darling.
All right. Well, I want to, I don't know how to, this is a bitter pill to swallow. But I
girl,
have
just swallow it. I mean, ooh, you're good at
girl.
That. You're good at that.
Wow. but I need to issue a retraction.
Uh-oh. You're going to take back something that you previously stated as fact? What?
I'm not happy about this.
Me neither.
But I needed to rethink my life, rethink my decisions. And so I decided to give a list. You're welcome, Jeffrey, out there, if you're listening, Jeffrey. A List New York, also known as A-List New York, mm-hmm. which is the show on Logo. Last night, I found myself watching this show.
Oh, girl.
And I have, on previous shows, I have,
Trash talked them.
I
mean,
I have not
be
been nice.
No.
It was a Rosie O'Donnell, Donald Trump feud. I was just going at him.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
And, I'm really embarrassed. I watched one show,
mm-mm.
and then I thought, oh my God, I'm going to watch another show.
Girl.
And then I put the season pass on my TiVo.
Uh-oh, girl.
So, I'm really embarrassed about that. I guess, like, I cannot believe, but I have to admit, it was entertaining.
What?
I'm not going to lie. I do not take back anything I said about them. I will agree that they are just an interesting group of people. But I thoroughly enjoyed the show. I'm not going to lie. And I will watch. And it comes on tonight at 10 p.m. And I probably, it will be on my TiVo and I'll watch it tomorrow.
This is like finding out that Santa Claus doesn't exist. Oh, wait. If anybody thinks that Santa Claus does exist, I'm kidding.
He exists.
But
yeah,
that is finding out that you are, you decided that you were wrong about something.
Scary, right?
It is real scary. I mean, nothing is concrete anymore. This is awful.
What are we going to do?
What are we going to do? Well, let's just move past it real
quick.
Let's
just move past it. Okay, all right, next. And done. And also, I want to talk about something that we have in common. We have a lot of things in common, Becca, mm-hmm. me and you.
Totes.
But one thing is that we are in love with a man named Andrew Jenks.
Oh, my gosh. I am so in love with him. And if he's listening, please come on the show.
Yes, and he has a show on MTV called World of Jenks.
Mm-hmm, which actually is also a list and World of Jenks.
Or on the
and
same time.
Outspoken Radio are all wonderfully on at the same time. So
in the
make
East
sure
Coast.
Yes, in the East Coast. Yeah. If you watch World of Jenks, just make sure that you TiVo it so you can listen to us live, because that's the most important thing. But World of Jenks is on MTV at 10 p.m. Eastern
mm-hmm.
time.
Mm-hmm.
I just think he's amazing. Like, I started watching his show. It was after the VMAs, if anybody watched the VMAs.
Mm-hmm.
It was on right after. And he's this 24-year-old filmmaker who is, I mean, at 16, he had created a film festival at his high school, and the keynote speaker was James Earl Jones.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty huge at 16.
That's huge.
That's
Darth Vader.
Yeah. I don't even know what I was doing. Probably buying my first C cup bra. Yes, that's right. C cup.
Me too.
At 16. I know
Me
you
too.
Were, girl. Patting it with chicken breasts. At 19 years old, he had made his first feature film called Andrew Jenks, Room 335. And then while he was at NYU, HBO optioned it. They bought the rights. And then it was released in 08. And then at 21, ESPN financed his second film called The Zen of Bobby V, which was premiered at Tribeca Film Festival.
Mm.
And now, it sounds just like my life story.
Yeah.
And then in 2010, MTV signed him on to do the docuseries World of Jenks.
Mm-hmm. Which is, it's amazing to see that. And what I love about World of Jenks, too, is it's not that he's trying to exploit these different people. Like he, my favorite episode so far was with the kid with autism.
Yeah.
And it's not that he's trying to exploit the kid with autism or trying to exploit the, I don't know if it's a disease. What would you call it?
I think what you're saying is he's not exploiting these people for who they are.
Yeah.
He's taking a better look at them.
What he wants to show not only, yes, they're different from us, but he wants to show what also makes them like us.
Yeah.
And I think something that we can relate to them, although they are different, there are so many more similarities that we have in common. And I think by just showing these people and giving them a story, it helps us to understand and maybe not judge their life as harshly as we do.
Yes, I think so too. And essentially what he does on the show is he lives with the person for a week.
Mm-hmm.
And he had said in one reading that I read that he feels that by giving them that person that time, by living them with them for that week,
mm-hmm.
you begin to really start to know a person because he's with them 24/7. He's
yeah.
with them day in and day out.
Mm-hmm.
And everything that you see on the show, I imagine there's hours and hours more of footage, but especially in the episode that you talked about where he lived with the gentleman with autism, he didn't know everything about it. He made some mistakes when he was living with them. You know, the loud noises made the gentleman like really distressed
mm-hmm.
and anxious.
Mm-hmm.
And he took him down into the city.
Yeah.
And that just set him off, and he didn't even realize, and he apologized later to the
mm-hmm.
guy, and he was just like, "I'm so sorry. I did not even think that would be a factor," mm-hmm. you know, and it's just he's learning as he goes. But the important thing I think is that he's taking the time to learn
mm-hmm.
and say, "I see you as another human being, not a kid with autism." Not, you know, he's also lived with a rapper, an MMA fighter, a homeless woman. He's not seeing those people for those things as being who they are.
Yeah,
that's just where they are.
He wants to get to know the person
mm-hmm.
and not just the label
yeah.
that you know they have over their head.
Yeah.
And the stigma that goes along with, you know, what happens to be their circumstance at the time.
Yeah. It's really entertaining because he does get to know the person in depth.
Mm-hmm.
He's real cute.
He's adorbs.
He's adorbs.
And he's 24.
I like how you just shortened that.
Adorbs.
Adorbs.
You like that?
It's my favorite new one. Well, and two, like, I mean, I think it all goes back to your parents. His mom is a family nurse practitioner. His dad is the Assistant Secretary General for the United Nations.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that maybe that might have opened his eyes a bit more and said, look, there's a lot of world to see, not just, you know, mm-hmm. the people living on your street. But yeah, he's 24.
24.
So if he wants to give me a call, I will gladly go out on a date with him slash marry him.
Maybe. But I think that's what's so great about, you know, our generation here lately is I think that we're able to, you know, put ourselves out there and we're able to broadcast, you know, just everything that makes the world different, but just try to open people's eyes. And I think that's a lot what we try to do here on the show is I think that, yes, I personally am gay. I mean, you're straight, I'm gay, but that's not something that we want to focus the show on. And I think that that's something that he does is he doesn't want to focus the show exactly on the kid has autism. He wants to focus the show on how the kid survives in his life.
Yeah, and actually, it's funny that you mentioned that about a generational thing because he says, I want to tell the stories of my generation. I want to be a filmmaker that is able to capture what my generation thinks, how they act, and what they ultimately stand for. Mm-hmm. And I think the point that you brought up is an important one. Yes, you are gay. Yes, I am straight, but that isn't who we are. Mm-hmm. That isn't what we are. That isn't the end-all, be-all of what we are. It is part of who we are, mm-hmm. but it doesn't. That's not the whole person right there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's you get to see people three-dimensionally. You get to see their... Mm-hmm. Their ideas, their opinions, their thoughts, their hopes, their dreams. That's what it's all about.
That's what it's all about. And I think here lately it's weird though, because I love documentaries. And mm-hmm. I think that to me they are just so compelling. And I think that here lately I've been more interested in watching documentaries as opposed to, you know, watching movies. And I love the fact that I mean, MTV has a lot of TV shows, mm-hmm. A lot of TV shows that I do not watch.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I personally do not watch Jersey Shore.
No,
girl. Not a big Guido lover. But I think that...
Did you say Guido like an Italian?
Yeah.
Oh, girl, I can't even believe you just said that.
What? What?
What? The mafia is going to kill us.
Well, no.
I am personally
We're friends
just,
with bro, so bro's friends with the mafia, just, so therefore we aren't.
The mafia in Canada, girl, and any... Okay, just... I'm 25% Italian, so if y'all are out there, don't hurt me. Don't break my fingers. I'm right-handed. If you're going to break a finger, break it on the left hand. Go after Donnie Meacham.
No, it's not that I don't love the Italian people as a whole. I just don't love
those.
The
well,
show.
They call themselves... I mean, like, they put themselves in that stereotypical position. No, I hear you. I don't think that... It's not presenting a smart... I mean, I'm sure the Italian population... none of them are Italian, right?
No, none of them.
And they're not... And they portray themselves as that.
Nikki's from, like... I don't know, Massachusetts or something. I don't know where she's from.
New Jersey girl. New Jersey. no, but like I'm sure no Italians are excited to that these people are posing as Italians and like walking around pretending that they're like, hey, how you doing?
Well, I don't think they talk like that.
They do.
Do they?
It's the situation talks like that.
Oh, my bad.
Like, hey, how you doing, girl?
My
what bad. You want to do? You want to jump into these pants? I got room. I don't even know what he, I don't even know what he says.
I got
he's
room.
Like ridiculous.
You want to jump into these pants? I got room.
He does. Yeah, I guess no guy would say that. Really,
no,
really
I don't think anybody would say that.
But I think he does.
He does. All right. Well, that's our World of Jinx love that we have for him. I also want to, because this show we do talk about politics and entertainment.
Yeah, girl.
As anybody knows, tomorrow is November 2nd.
Mm-hmm. Which that's also means Tuesday.
Tuesday. It is the election.
Uh-huh.
All the big elections around the country. And I'm not going to sit here and I'm not going to tell you which way to vote, of course. I'm not going to tell you, you know, who I'm going to vote for. But I will just encourage you to go out there and vote. And I think that just vote with your heart. And I think that vote for, regardless of what other people say, regardless of what other people are voting for, just vote for whatever you think is best for you. And whatever, if a certain candidate strikes your fancy, vote for him. I mean, I guess I'm giving it away. If you feel Meg Whitman is right for you, vote for her. She personally is not right for me. But if you feel that she will change you, then, you know, vote for her. And I'm not going to discourage you not to vote for her, because I think that there's one thing that we have a right in this country is to get out there and vote. And I think that a lot of times, and people just don't do it.
Yeah.
And I understand also, I think that the whole voting system needs to be revamped. Mm-hmm. I don't know why, if we're a country with, what, we have like 300 million people in here? Tons. And we have this thing called the internet. I don't know why you can't vote online.
Well, I think on the voting online, like, it's fraudulent abilities are even greater online when you can do it at home than in a voting booth. You know what I mean? Like, I think the ability to fabricate things and sway elections on that is a little greater. But I think that we can definitely make the polling places a little more appealing.
Yeah,
a club, a restaurant,
something.
Perhaps.
But when you walk up to a library and there's, you know, 300 people in line, the last thing you want to do is jump on the end of that line.
Yeah.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
True. No. I totally do. That's why I'm saying, like, make the polling place more appealing. Make it be somebody that maybe this is a little far-fetched and a little silly. Make it something that you want to go. If you want to make the reason that a lot of places are selling right now, or a lot of things are selling, are because to the people that are a little younger, who we really want to get out there and vote, they're making them appealing. I'm not saying cater to them. I'm just saying make voting something that is just as fun to do as anything else.
Yeah.
You know, that people are going out 18 and over to do.
Yeah. And I think that that's one thing that Obama has done, and I think that that's something, you know, I'll give him all the credit in the world for, is I think that he, in this past election 2 years ago, I think that he sparked a, like, he relit the fire for young people to be interested in politics. And I think that he was the first president to ever, and I'm not saying he catered to young people, but he was the first ever to look at young people and say, your vote does matter.
Yeah.
And your vote does count, because we are the future. And I think that, and I will say this too, I think that it's a generational gap. There's a generational divide in between the men in Washington and the youth and the people of the country as a whole. I think that, and that drives me crazy. I hate when the politicians, they get up there and they just forget who they are, and they head out there to change Washington, and then Washington changes them.
Yeah.
And that drives me crazy.
Well, they don't know who they're preaching to. And I do say preach because sometimes that's what happens. But I think that what they don't understand, I think that the people who are in power right now and who quote unquote own the country at the moment, they're all in their 50s and 60s.
Yeah.
What they don't understand is the fact, don't understand or care.
Care.
That right now they own the country, but in two decades, they'll be gone.
Yeah.
Their legacy needs to be something that is proactive. Their legacy needs to be something that it helps to transform the world into something positive, as opposed to just saying, well, I'm going to do whatever I want here and now.
Yeah.
And that's another reason why I think it's so important to vote, because, you know, you may be 18 or 20 or 30 and not care.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's fine. But that sense of caring in where you live and what you stand for is going to kick in a couple of years.
Yeah.
And you want to be able to have set yourself down a good road to start making and seeing some changes. So I say get out there and vote. Be a little informed about who you're voting for if you can. But get out there and vote. And I don't know. I was going to say don't. I know there are people who get out there and they vote for somebody that they don't even care about just so that somebody else doesn't
win.
And I understand that. And I don't really have... I'm too divided within myself to make a statement on whether or not I feel that that's right or not. But but ultimately, I think just get out there and vote.
Get out there and vote. And but also, speaking of politicians gone awry,
girl.
You know how I... So there's a show on TLC that's premiering November 14th called... I think it's November 14th. Sarah Palin's Alaska.
Mm-mm.
And I'm very excited about that. I was watching something on TLC last night, and... the premiere for Sarah Palin's Alaska just kept coming on and on and on, and I was getting all kinds of wet. I was so excited. I just
had to
hearing
change
her voice
sheets
is
in bed.
Just. Ugh,
she is the
no, I'm
first
so
ex- horseman of the apocalypse.
So I'm so excited.
Maybe the third. I don't even know. I can't keep track at this point. Maybe her and Meg Whitman and Christine O'Donnell will be the witches
Fiona.
Of Eastwick and bring down the. Down society.
You never know. I mean,
you never know.
It's scary. But one thing I want to ask everyone out there to please do is please go to our website, outspokenradio.net. That is outspokenradio.net. And if you could please take the survey that was put on the website. We have a few questions. Just trying to get to know the listeners a little better.
Yeah.
So if you could just please go on there and take the survey.
Vote for us, too. You know? Like,
vote
while you're
us.
Voting tomorrow, just go on the website and vote for us. Yeah.
Oh, that's a good slogan.
I
like it.
You're welcome.
And also, just check out all the other things on the page. There's news from the upcoming guests. There's a summary of the past shows if you've missed them. Also, you can check out the Keep Us On Air page because we would like to stay here. But we all know it's an independent radio station, so therefore, every little donation helps.
Times is money, people.
Times is money.
And we don't have money.
Not a lot. And also, you can email me at outspokenradio@gmail.com. I love how I get the whole Oprah effect when I say outspoken radio.
Outspoken radio.
Yeah, I go, it's like, you know, but it's like, and we have John Travolta. And I'm like, that's right, everyone, you can listen to Outspoken. Spoken radio.
You have like a reverse Oprah.
It's weird.
Thing. I go John Travolta,
and I start off big and go slow.
Outspoken. Oh wait, that's Oprah.
The same
way. I got trapped into Oprah.
That's terrible.
Donnie, I'm gonna miss you till Monday. I'll see you in the middle, but people won't.
And also, if I can ever get the iTunes up and working, we are available on iTunes. I know the whole month of October has disappeared from there, and then last week's show's not on there yet. But I am slowly trying to deal with iTunes and get that up and running.
He's going to figure it out.
And I'm going to figure it out, and we're going to be back.
And maybe we'll get a guest book, since I just told Daniel what that is on the website.
I know, bro has a guest book, and I kind of want a guest book. I didn't even know what a guest book was.
We figured it out.
Right in there. Yeah.
We figured it out.
But all right, I want to also make sure everyone tunes into the other shows here on LA Talk Radio that are awesome. There's a Sheena Metal Experience, which premieres. Gosh, I'm really bad at this.
You are. Just start over, girl. Start over.
The Sheena Metal Experience, which is Monday through Friday from 5 to 7. The Alternative with Terry LeGrand, which is Sunday from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. And then also the lovely On Air with Tony Sweet, which is an amazing show. And I happened to actually, I guess, co-host it last Friday. So you can go on and go to his page and you can listen to me guest coasting. But his show is Friday from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. And all right, everyone, I just want to say we are loud, we are proud, and most of all, we are outspoken. I am Donnie Meacham.
And I'm Rebecca Tripp.
And we are out.
You're listening to Outspoken Radio with Donnie and friends right here on LA Talk Radio.